Everyone, welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen, especially those of us building our businesses from home that were just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done, we're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's guest with you. Jeanette Yoff is the executive director and founder of Celia Center, a support center that meets the critical needs of all those connected by foster care and adoption, and supports all those who serve the community in Los Angeles and beyond via support groups, mental health conferences, Wolf Healings, and art festivals. Jeanette is the clinical director of the Yoff Therapy, which provides psychotherapy to children, teens, and their families, treating attachment, trauma, grief, and loss challenges. What a remarkable occupation and calling, I think, when you are in this area. So, Jeanette, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you, Dori. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. You know, I have to think back when my kids were growing up, I was the house where the foster care system in Connecticut would bring kids to keep them out of the system when they were 16 or 17 and just old enough that they didn't have to stay home anymore, but they didn't want to get them in the system. And I remember, one of my kids' superintendent was like, wow, you're just bound and determined to save the world one kid at a time, aren't you? I was like, well, whatever one I can help. So I really have a lot of respect for the work that you are doing. So share your journey with us and what brought you into this. And let's really talk about all of this.
Well, I'm originally from New York. Now I live in Los Angeles. I came to Los Angeles to be in the arts and film and theater because I did a lot of theater in New York, and I wrote a play called What's Your Name, Who's Your Daddy? And it's about my story growing up in foster care and adoption in New York State. And when I wrote this play, I didn't realize there were 34,000 children in foster care in Los Angeles at that time. And I thought to myself, wow, I feel like I was one of the lucky ones because I was adopted at the ripe age of 7.5. And it wasn't deemed at that time that kids were, if they were in foster care for many years, that they would be adopted like it is today. It was very different. This was in the late 70s. And so in writing my play and then speaking with different organizations, I then started really talking about the experience and realized, wow, I have an expertise in this area. I know a lot about this experience and I love children. And so I then pursued a clinical degree in psychology and got my master's and became a licensed psychotherapist in 2006, started my private practice, and boy, did it just, I just got busier and busier and busier. I've worked with hundreds, probably thousands of families at this point in my career. I've been doing this for 18 years. And so out of starting my psychotherapy practice, I then started a nonprofit called Celia Center to create more of a community in Los Angeles so that other adult adoptees could know other adult adoptees, because this is a lifelong process.
It really is. And, you know, for people that don't know, because they hear about foster care, you hear about adoption, what is the difference between them?
Yes. So the reason why a child would become part of the child welfare system would be if something is unsafe in their home, with their family of origin. That could be abuse, neglect, and it could be that there's domestic violence, they're witnessing trauma, and it has been deemed unsafe for them to stay with their family of origin, and they are placed in the child welfare system. The child welfare system was created to rescue children from unsafe situations, and that's called foster care. Foster care is about family reunification. What the goal is to help families that are in crisis receive parenting classes, receive a rehabilitation if they have addictions, receive family support so that the child can be returned in what's called reunification and have a reunification with their family. Now, what happens is if the parents aren't receiving the proper support or they need more support or they're not doing their case plan, the child can then be available for adoption, because if a parent doesn't do their case plan within a certain amount of time, the judge can terminate their parental rights, and then that child is available for adoption.
You know, I actually took legal guardianship of a friend of mine's 14-month-old son because he was going to wind up in foster care, and they were going to take him if I didn't take guardianship, and I had him for a year and a half before he went back to his mom, and believe me, I gave back my son when I gave back that baby.
Yes.
You know? And my kids, who at the time were 18, 16, and 14, and here I have a 14-month-old, and when people would say to them, who's that? That was their little brother. They never said that that's somebody that my mom's taking care of, you know. So the attachment, it's a wonderful thing to be able to step in and help a parent that sometimes just needs that time to get their life together. You created an acronym, I was reading about this, to help foster parents. So what is that acronym and the tips that it shares?
So the six tips is FOSTER. FOSTER is the acronym, F-O-S-T-E-R. So F is understand the child that is coming into your home, understand their history. See if you can get as much information as to what happened to them. Because understanding where they're coming from and what they had in their previous home, that gives them a sense of comfort. Familiarity is really, really important. One of the things that my adoptive mother did was she learned that I like tuna fish on whole wheat without the relish. So when I had my first visit with her and I was 7 years old, I felt seen and heard and received. And I realized that I do matter, because I was leaving a prior foster home that I'd lived in for 6.5 years, where I was feeling, do they still want me? Am I still lovable? Do people still care about me? So understanding where they've come from is really important. Their likes, their interests, and see if you can bridge that and bring that into your home so they feel a sense of security, stability, and transition into your home. So that's F. O is observe, watch, and listen, because children come with histories, yes. And children who've experienced trauma, they can do either one of two things. They can be hypo-aroused, and that is where they don't talk about their feelings and their experience, and they keep it all in. And I was one of those kids. I just stuffed it so deep inside of myself, but it became very difficult for me to tolerate my experience without having an opportunity to talk about it. And I did enter therapy at age 13. I've been in therapy since then. Many, many times. I still go to therapy because it's a lifelong challenge for us. So going back to observe, watch, and listen to their cues, and it's called be an owl. Just watch and see what they're communicating. And if they are hyper aroused, that means they're acting out their feelings. They're communicating, they just don't know, especially if it's unwanted behaviors. They don't know how to cope. Children come into the system with so many psychosocial stressors and unmet needs, and it's really hard to know what they are. So one of my interventions is I tell parents to do mapping. Just get a little notebook. Whenever you see big behaviors, just mark who, what, where, when, and how. And what you're going to start seeing is patterns in their behavior. And then you can understand maybe something happened with a male or female, because every time we are around someone who looks like this or talks like this, or they're at a park, wherever it is, and the child gets overwhelmed and stressed out, something may have happened. And we want to be curious about that. So observe, watch, and listen to their cues, because 95% of communication is nonverbal. And a lot of kids are so scared to tell you because they're so scared to connect with their pain, their grief, their loss. It's challenging. we tend to project adult characteristics on children all the time, that, oh, why don't they just get over this? Well, it takes years for children to move through their experience. So that's O. S is security. They need to feel secure in your home. And so I am a big advocate for attachment-focused parenting. And I do have a YouTube channel, and I have a hour training on attachment-focused parenting. You cannot parent a child who's had trauma or multiple previous placements the way you would parent a regular child. They need attachment-focused parenting. That will give them a sense of security and stability in your home. You have to focus on the relationship, because most of the time, children who come through foster care, they have attachment trauma. Something happened with their caregivers. So really important, not only attachment-focused parenting, but trauma-informed parenting. And again, I have a lot of videos on my YouTube channel that you can go to after listening to this, and you will be able to facilitate that security for your child, which is necessary to build a secure attachment. T is teach, and that is teach the child everything about your home. Because when I first went into my adoptive home, I didn't know where my toothbrush was. I didn't know if I got up in the middle of the night, where do I get a glass of water? Literally, I tell foster parents and foster care social workers and DCFS workers, please give a tour to the child before you just drop them off and leave and go, okay, see you next month. No, it literally takes 15 minutes. Go, hey, we're going to tour your new foster home, and we're going to get all your answers to all your questions. I'm going to teach you what it is that you need to know. So the kids feel a sense of, okay, I know what I'm doing here and where things are. So just know that with the teaching component, a lot of kids do come into the foster care system without experiences of even having their own room. Some kids have been homeless, have lived in motels. And so knowing their history, when they don't clean their room, you're going to understand they need to be taught how to clean their room. It's not their fault they don't know how to clean their room. So be a good teacher. And one of the attachment tips is story tell everything, because it changes actually your tone of voice when you say, hey, we're going to learn how to do this, and I'm going to tell you how that happens and how we clean the toilet in the bathroom in our house. This is how we do it, with a storytelling tone. And E is have empathy, not only for the child, but for yourself. This is going to be hard. Foster parenting is not for the faint of heart. So have empathy for yourself and have empathy for your child. And you must convey this verbally and non-verbally, just by looking at them and giving them a sense of, you're with gazing with love. I care for you deeply. I may not like that you just threw your cell phone across the room because you're angry and upset. However, I understand this must be hard for you. It's really hard. And we, using a lot of we and us, we are going to get through this. We are not giving up on you. We will get through this. Something that I really needed my mother to say to me, because I had cried a lot as a kid. I was grieving the loss of my foster family. And I needed my mother to say, I'm so sorry. You feel so sorry for yourself. You must have a lot to feel sorry for. I get it. And my mom wasn't attachment informed, and she would tell me, stop feeling sorry for yourself. And I needed her to just step back and be that owl and go, she needs to feel sorry for herself. She has been victimized by a overwhelming experience that would be hard for any child. And it's really hard when a parent has their own unfinished business, grief and loss or trauma, going to be very hard for them to empathize. But it's okay. It's okay to, I say, find a listening partner, a friend you can call that you can complain, feel heard, seen, and received yourself, because you're going to need that, and have empathy for yourself. And then R is find resources in your area, and that is support groups. You need to be with other families like you. You need to read books, listen to podcasts, go to my YouTube channel, and read one of my books, which is Groundbreaking Interventions, Working with Traumatized Children, Teens, and Families in Foster Care and Adoption. And for your child, I just published my first children's book. I'm so excited. It's called What is Adoption? And I explain to kids how an adoption plan is formed, how the system, how the court system works, what are the many reasons why any child would go into the foster care and adoption placement, and mental health interventions, things you can do about this. And I teach kids that, you know, you're grieving and that's okay. And you're going to have a lot of questions and that's okay. So that is what my FOSTER acronym is.
On that note, let that sink in, please. And we're going to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment here on Word of Mom Radio.
Hi, this is Charlotte Felcher. Welcome to Kid Fun. Here's a tip from my book, Kid Fun, 401 Easy Ideas for Play. Kids get restless. We all get restless. And what I always loved to do when I was a kindergarten teacher was tell the kids, be a rubber band. And I would hold up a rubber band and I would shake it and they would have to shake. And then I would stretch it sideways. You could see their arms and their legs stretching sideways. Then I would stretch it vertically and their arms would go straight up in the air as they were stretching. But then I would drop it. I would pop it and let it fall to the ground. And when I picked it up, I would be picking them up, well, visually, with this rubber band, and I would squeeze it. So when I dropped it, they fell on the floor, and when I picked it up, they stood up, and they squeezed their body together. It's such fun, and it breaks up a very dull moment. That's Kid Fun for today. You can get more information from my book, Kid Fun, 401 Easy Ideas for Play, by visiting my website, kidfunandmore.com.
She is brave. She is strong. She is you, because you're that woman who's got a product or a service that you're looking to promote, or you're out there seeking to support other women in business to help women learn, network, and build the businesses of their dreams, because when you win, we win.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than one in four children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404. Or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Don't let the name fool you, because stadiumbags.com has a line of clear bags that enable you to use your phone and your smart devices without removing them from your bag. Not only that, but the product is so good it'll stand up to the cleaning solvents that you need to use now to make sure that when you come home safely. So take a look at stadiumbags.com. You'll see why we're your clear choice, because safety in the bag. We're back on Word of Mom Radio. We are talking with Jeanette Yoff about foster care and adoption. And I want to ask you, when does a foster parent make that decision to adopt that child?
Well, it is a personal, you know, you really need to ask yourself, can I do this? Because it is a long-term commitment. And I'm saying that because parents say, oh, I'm going to do this, but they're not informing themselves of the lifelong process, and they're not educating themselves. You cannot give a 7-day notice and say, oh, I don't want this child anymore. Absolutely not. You cannot rehome children. Once you make that commitment, you make that commitment. And I'm very, very passionate about this work. Your child is going to need you to be that therapeutic parent. So So once you've learned that the parental rights have been terminated, your social worker will let you know that this child is now available for adoption. And it is in your best interest to go to a support group, to read blogs of adoptees, to do your homework so you know the investment and the guidance and attention that your child is going to need, because they're not like other kids. And you may have parented a child biologically, parented them one way, you will need to parent this child differently. So just ask yourself those questions. Are you willing to do what it takes? Because these children are vulnerable and they need parents that are willing to step up and not give up.
Step up and not give up, because,
correct,
you know, it's hard.
It is hard.
It's hard. You know, this is not a child who was raised securely attached. This is not a child who's going to have self-esteem, attachment issues, all of the things that go along with, for whatever reason, you've been put into foster care, for whatever reason you need to be adopted. You know, some of these kids have lost their parents in an accident and don't have family members that they can go to and things. I mean, there is so much behind this.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's the attachment trauma and the grief and loss, which usually gets pushed under the rug.
You know what? I've never been one of those people that will say to a kid, oh, come on, don't cry. You need to cry. When my mom died, my middle son felt it the most because he was speech delayed. And he was like, you know, she was my friend. She always understood me when I spoke. I would sometimes say to my mom, what did he just say? And she was gone a few weeks, maybe a month. And he was just so sad. And I looked at him and I was like, you know what? I can't do anything but sit and cry with you. Would you like me to cry with you? And he was like, yes, please. And he climbed in my lap and we cried for about 10 minutes together.
Yes, yes.
And then when he was done crying, he gave me a hug and a kiss. And I was trying to stuff my tears because I could have just kept crying. I mean, my mom's gone 28 years. I could still cry right now. We have to give kids permission.
Yes.
Because if they don't get those feelings out, that's when they're going to turn to drugs when they get older and stuff like that. Because some idiot is going to say, here, take this because this is going to make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to open those lines of communications. So
right,
what happens as a foster parent or an adoptive parent? What do you do when children want to learn about their biological parents?
Yes, and I talk about it in my children's book, What is Adoption? You have a right to ask your parents about your birth family and who they are and where they come from and who you are and what your identity is. So one of the things that I do with kids is we make question boxes. We get a box and we sit and we acknowledge all the questions that you could have about anyone in your birth family, what happened, and all we do is write them on index cards. We put them in the box and we hold them there. We go, wow, that's a lot of questions. Then I say, you can get an answer. Let's start with one at a time. And one at a time, it's a stalling tactic for parents. Now the parent has a week, it's time stamped, to go see and do the research and find out what they can find about that question and answer it age appropriately. Because typically kids ask different questions at different ages. The why was I adopted usually comes around 7, 8, 9. Age 3, 4, and 5 is, what's adoption? They don't ask why, they ask what it is. So very important, again, to OWL, to listen to the question and only answer what the question is asking, because parents tend to give too much information. The child's not ready and now they're confused. So it's a question by question basis. And the parent may come back and go, we did our research. We don't have an answer for you at this time, but we're going to put it back in the question box. And now we're going to hold it here until when we learn the information. Is there another question we can go to next? But here's the thing, there's a lot of ambiguity, especially when we don't have the birth history and children come into the system and know their story was not told. And it can be really hard. I was one of those kids. I didn't learn that my birth mother was actually Native Argentinian and come to New York City to be a dancer until I was 17. I didn't see her photo and I look exactly like her until I was 26. So you need to start sooner than later with your child. And it's healthy It's important. It acknowledges it's a basic human need, and adoptees need this. They need their parents holding this ambiguity with them. And that's what I do with the question box. Also, just creating a family tree with kids, and that we have the birth, we have the roots. Literally draw a tree, your roots. If we don't have names, let the child give the name, choose the name. I want to call my birth mother and help them with language, not tummy mommy. That's hurtful. They're more than that. She, first mother, birth mother. We don't have her name at this time. What name would you like to give her? We want to value their roots. And that helps them name it to tame it, help them acknowledge and externalize it and have it outside of them so it's not incubating inside of them. And they're alone in this very difficult experience. Children have a really hard time making sense of where they've come from when they're not given the information. And guess what? They're going to make up stories and they're not going to be good ones. I made it up that, I guess they died in a fire. That's because no one was talking to me. And I started making up these terrible stories in my mind. And just because your child's not actively talking about their story, do not think that they're not actively thinking. They are thinking and thinking and curious, and it's healthy to wonder with them. So next time you're in the car with your kid and your kid's like, Mom, why was I adopted? And you're driving, you're going to go, great question for your question box. Because I have so many parents come to me and they say, we were driving in the car. Because this is typically when it happens, these big questions, just you're not having eye contact and the child's thinking. And they go, Mom, why was I adopted? And the parent feels obligated in that moment to go, well, and they start explaining things, but they haven't thought about it. They're not thinking of the age of the child. And now the child's confused, like I said earlier. So it's a great stalling tactic for everyone, because this needs to be carefully thought through, especially age by age, because some kids just aren't ready to hear certain information. They could have learning challenges. They could have processing challenges, and they also may not understand the context of what's being said and communicated. And it needs to really, the big people need to sit together, and I help parents all the time answer some really tough questions, because each child has their own story and it's unique, and we want them to be able to receive the information and that digest it so they can have objectivity and understand that it wasn't about you. It was about the circumstances in your mother or father's life at that time. You were born like all babies are born. And then next, your story is different. And so you do have an adoption or foster care story. And we're going to tell you what that is.
I'm just getting choked up. What's the biggest thing?
I get choked up too, talking about it.
Really? It's just hard. And, you know, for someone like me, I mean, I was born to be a mom. I just was. And which was why, I mean, throughout the years, I don't know, I think I had 9 or 10 kids that stayed out of the system because they moved in with us.
Amazing.
Yeah, that I'm still in touch with, you know, and they still call me mom and everything else. And, you know, and a lot of them, I helped facilitate getting them back with their parents. You know, because they had just issues and nobody was willing to just sit down and talk with everybody. So I would mediate things. So some of them lived with us for a month. Some lived with us for a year and left my house to go to college and stuff. But, you know, and it was all my kids' friends. The first one was my son's friend who had just moved here. All of my kids had either a couch or a futon or an extra bed in their rooms. And he was like, Mom, I'll share my food and stuff. I was like, honey, we have plenty of food. You know, it's okay. And I said to him, I was like, I'm so proud of you that you asked me if your friend could come and live with us right now because of the hard time he was having and everything. And he was like, Mom, all of your friends have lived with us. You know, I always had friends that had nowhere to go for a little while. And I always had an open couch. We always had an open bed. We always had extra food. So, you know, my kids saw me do it because that's what I saw my mom do. My mom was always the house where people came, and, you know, it was important. But, yeah, it's totally choking me up. But
yeah, there's a great need. I mean, now, you know, with the pandemic, more children are displaced. There's more children in foster care. We do need more foster parents. I will say that. If you are inspired by this conversation, please, you can be a foster parent. You can be respite to a foster parent. You can be an emergency placement. You can be the home where babies, when they're first entering the system, you take care of them, and that could be a short time. Or you take in a foster youth who are hard to place and who may never be adopted. They can live in your home, and you can foster parent and provide for them until the age of 21, because they do receive Medi-Cal until the age of 21. Or you can be a CASA advocate, court-appointed special advocate, and be a voice. And that's volunteering your time to be a mentor to a foster youth and even children and tweens. So that there's plenty of involvement, plenty of need. So you can do this. Call CASA in your local region. Call your local Child and Family Services. Or there are private foster care agencies that are nonprofits subcontracted by the Department of Children and Family Services.
What's the biggest thing you want every adopted child to know?
Choke me up. You are valuable. You don't underestimate your worth. You are worthy. What happened to your biological family is not your responsibility, and you did not cause this to happen. You are good enough, just the way that you are, and it starts with you loving yourself. You are not responsible, and there are so many reasons why parents, why families just can't live together. And it's not about you as a person. It's about the circumstances in their life at that time. So know that speaking with someone, if you're feeling emotional just listening to me, you can go to a therapist. It is healthy. I've been in therapy since the age of 13, and it changed my life. It helped me have empathy for my pain, and that allowed me to have greater self-esteem, greater confidence, and I was able to take more risks, and I wouldn't be sitting here if I didn't talk to anyone and share what was happening inside of me with someone I could build trust. And I knew someone I could be with, a therapist who would not judge me, criticize me for even having my feelings, but would unconditionally respect and accept and help me make sense of, why am I feeling this way? Okay, I need to grieve this. Okay, now I feel better. And now, what do I want to do about this? And that's where I wrote my one-woman play, decided, you know what? No, I'm going to be a therapist. I'm going to work with kids. I'm going to give back. And now I'm 3 books I've written. My play is on Audible now. You can listen to it. And I'm so excited about my children's book. I'm just, it's a dream come true. And it hasn't been an easy road, but I've never given up on myself. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up. Push through and reach out. Fall reaching. That's not my quote. That's Dustin Hoffman. Always fall reaching. There's help out there. There's help.
This is not the conversation I thought we were going to be having. And you know what you were saying? You are enough. You are worthy. Every one of us are. We
exactly.
All have our own story. We all have our own history. And it wasn't your fault.
No, it was not.
What put you into foster care, what put you up for adoption, had nothing to do with you.
Exactly.
And you don't have to carry that burden.
Exactly.
Because you were loved enough. You know, somebody loved you enough to adopt you. Somebody loved you enough to foster you. And you know what? They have their own flaws. We're all flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is perfect. You know, and everybody tries in their own way.
Exactly.
So the work that you are doing, I so applaud the work that you are doing. I really, truly do. Please let everybody know how they can reach out to you. And all of Jeanette's links will be live on our Blog Talk Radio page.
My website, Jeanette Yoff, Jeanette Yoff, Y-O-2-F, like Frank, E.com, has Yoff Therapy, Celia Center, and Jeanette Yoff links. My YouTube channel is called Genetically Speaking About Foster Care and Adoption, because every time I heard the word genetics, it kind of sounds like my name, Jeanette. So I just said that's a great name for a YouTube channel.
It is.
And so all I'm talking about is foster care, adoption, and mental health. And I am on Twitter, Jeanette Yoff.
Jeanette, thank you for sharing your work and for all of the kids and parents that you are helping and haven't even met you yet, but that you're going to help down the line. I'm saying thank you in advance for the work that you are doing. You are very welcome. Please reach out. And, you know, anytime you have a chance to help a child, please take that chance. Take that chance making a difference in the life of a child. There's no greater gift than being there for a child. So, you know, just give a little. We can all give a little.
Yes, give a little. Exactly.
So, again, Jeanette, thank you for being here. For all of you tuning in, grab those tissues and enjoy. And we're going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. So till next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying, go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure. She is strong. She is true.